Hey, it's Friday, and this is Friday's edition of A Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, and today we've got a great show. We're going to be talking to Seneca Harper about Friday's Mod Carousel show. That's tonight, of course, at Rockwell. Lena Simmons will be here to highlight the Midsummer Vocal Workshop and Performance. We're going to get a preview of the music of Ryan Cortez, who's playing at Marlantini's. And we're going to also be hearing from Andy Hirsch, who will be here with an update on the library StoryCorps project. We'll have that, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, lots more. Me, of course, all coming up in just a little bit on A Juno Afternoon. But first, we're going to hear from National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Numerous wildfires in interior Alaska continue to threaten Native villages, KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
Wildfires advanced rapidly on the remote Athabascan villages of Nulato and Tanana this week. Tanana Chiefs Conference President Victor Joseph says about 200 people have been evacuated from the two villages and the Native community of Hughes.
Making sure that elders and people at risk are out of the community so our communities don't have to worry so much about them.
Joseph emphasizes that TCC is just one of several agencies and groups helping wildfire-impacted communities, an effort that also includes feeding and housing displaced people.
Sending down groceries to the communities and making sure that the people here are provided safe places, so we're coordinating with the Red Cross.
Joseph says TCC is monitoring the fire situation in several other villages in its sprawling interior service area, where unusually hot, dry weather and lightning have resulted in hundreds of wildfires this month. For National Native News, I'm Dan Bross in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Washington's governor has ordered for the remains of Kennewick Man to be turned over to tribes. Steve Jackson has more.
The remains were found in 1996 along the Columbia River. They became the property of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers as they were found on land under their control. Following the discovery, the Umatilla tribe wanted the bones returned for burial, but a court ruling in 2004 ordered the Corps to make those bones available for scientific study. Recent DNA analysis has indicated the 8,500-year-old bones were of Native American origin. Now Washington Governor Jay Inslee is asking the Corps of Engineers to return those bones to the appropriate tribes. Corps of Engineers spokeswoman Michael Coffey says there are two components to the Native American Graves and Repatriation Act that they must comply with. One, that the identification is Native American, which has been confirmed via the DNA test, and the tribal affiliation, which has not yet been determined.
We have to have a particular tribe to be able to turn him over to. So who is that tribe? So what is that cultural affiliation?
Governor Inslee has offered the Corps assistance from the State Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation. That agency's director, Allison Brooks, says they deal with Native American remains regularly, and there is the possibility that several tribes may claim Kennewick Man.
When there are multiple tribes, it has always been that the tribes work it out among themselves, which tribe will come and receive the remains, or perhaps they want our agency to drive the remains to them. But we've always seen the tribes work in coordination.
The spokeswoman for the Corps of Engineers says they're discussing their next step and hope to make a decision on the future of the Kennewick Man remains in the next few months. For National Native News, I'm Steve Jackson reporting from Spokane.
The Blackfeet Nation is showing appreciation to U.S. Montana Senator John Tester and Pearl Jam bassist Jeff Ament. The tribe says both have sought to protect the Badger Two Medicine area from oil and gas development. Located on the southern boundary of the reservation, it's culturally significant to the tribe, says Executive Council member Tyson Running Wolf.
It used to be included in the reservation. We still have treaty rights in there that include our hunting, fishing, timber gathering.
Senator Tester and Ament will be honored today during the grand opening of the tribe skate park in Browning, Montana. Running Wolf says Ament helped develop and fund construction of the park.
It means so much to us that they were one of the first to build the park here and then take an interest in our kids.
Ament, who's from Montana, has also helped fund and build skate parks on other reservations, including in South Dakota. Meanwhile, Blackfeet tribal celebrations continue through the weekend with Badger Two Medicine Days, which include public events and ceremonies. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Seems like summer happened early this year, but it's still happening out there. By the way, I wanted to just very quickly say that Ryan Cortez is playing at McGivney's. I said Marlantini's. I don't think Marlantini's is even a thing anymore. Yeah.
No, it's gone.
Lena Simmons and Scarlett Adams are with me both in the Juno Lyric Opera to talk about a midsummer vocal workshop and some other fun things happening with JLO. So welcome to both of you. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you.
In.
Hi, Andy.
And let's talk about this midsummer vocal workshop first and foremost. Workshop and performance.
Workshop and performance. We do a big choral work every year. And this year, we're celebrating 40 years.
Yay.
Juno Lyric Opera is. And so we're trying to do something. We don't quite make one production a month, but it's pretty darn close.
Yes, it is.
You know. And so we're going to do this workshop end of July, 1st of August. And we asked the singers, what do you want to do? You know, it's a celebration. They should get a chance. And it was like 95% of the people who responded went, Carmina, we want to do Carmina Burana.
Oh, okay.
And so we said, okay, you know. Two pianos, five percussionists, as many instrumentalists as we can find, four soloists, a small choir versus a big choir. It's a big darn deal.
That's a big deal.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, we're going to do it at Thunder Mountain because we need space.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
So, you know.
And why do you think that was the work that people wanted to do so?
It's fun to sing.
It's great music.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's
yeah, most people will hear some of the music and think, I know that. I hum that all the time after
right.
the commercial on TV. It's great music.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, almost everybody knows or has heard or Oh Fortuna. You know.
Yeah.
Right.
Everyone knows.
And even if they don't know that that's what it's called, they know it.
They know the piece because it's been used in movies and commercials and TV shows and whatever. But it's fun to sing. If you knew what you were singing, because most of it is in bastardized Latin or
high German.
Or low German or whatever.
I prefer high German.
Yeah,
oh, me too.
Personally.
Yeah.
But it's a series of poems from the 12th to the 13th century, and it's about basically wine, women, and song. They're a little body, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Just a little, you know, just to talk
about fun for the whole family.
Partying back then,
sure. Yeah. Was set to music in 1937.
Thank you, Orf.
Yes, and it's very rhythmic, and it's very percussive, and it really gets your blood going when you sing it.
It's fun to sing it, and it's great to listen to, so it'll be fun for everybody.
So are you constructing the workshop around around that as well?
Right.
So what's it like to do – how does that work? You do a workshop, and it's constructed around a certain piece. That must mean that some workshops work differently than others and that sort of thing, right?
In this case, for the summer, we're going to be a little over 2 weeks. We're going to start on Saturday, the July 25th, and we'll go through to the performance on August 8th, and we'll rehearse every night.
Yep.
This is a two-week commitment.
Right.
Yeah.
And
but it's so much fun because Byron McGilvray, our beloved conductor, Byron, is coming back to do it for us. And people who've sung with Byron have been coming back for 25 years. And new people just can't wait to get back
to sing with him.
So,
yeah, it'll be punishing, but so much fun.
Yeah.
Hurts so good.
Nothing worth doing isn't worth a little pain.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
I know you want to join us, right?
So you are, but the other thing that's exciting is that this is also the 40th anniversary year?
This is the 40th anniversary year, and like I said, we're trying to do something, you know, not quite one production a month.
Right.
But, you know, it's like June is our whale-watching cruise, which is this Sunday, for which we only have a few tickets left.
Yes, if you want a ticket for the whale watch on Sunday, 5 to 8 p.m., you need to go online, go into Hearthside right now, and get your tickets, because it's going to be a fun night.
Okay.
It is going to be a fun night.
Great.
Yeah, we'll have a little music, we'll have some food from the Rockwell, bring some friends, and we'll just hang out and watch the whales, because they will show.
Well, there'll be singing and stuff on board
there
as well?
There will be some singing.
Yes.
And that'll be kind of just a smaller groups, or is that organized
yet?
Well,
we've got one of our divas, Eve Dillingham.
Yep.
She's going to sing with Tom Loker on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
I've heard rumors of a few surprise bits and pieces.
There might be a sing-along.
There might be.
But don't be scared.
She's looking over at you when she's saying this. So it's a little bit...
No, it'll be a fun night. And last year, the whales just were everywhere. It rained a little, but that didn't stop us. We had a great time, so we thought, let's do it again.
And the whales would breach in time with the music. It was really cool.
It was very cool. Yeah,
maybe they're a little in tune with it.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness, yeah.
Audio.
I don't know if we sang as good as they do, but they came to check us out.
Anything else you guys want to mention? So this really cool thing
that's
happening.
Yeah. September is Hoosier Diva.
Yes, and September 19th.
That's a huge event
that's
for you guys,
event,
right?
I mean,
it really is.
Yeah, we had a great time, and we need a couple more divas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If you know anybody or, you know.
Now, are there rules about returning divas or if you...
Well, you know, there aren't as far as I know, but I think if a diva wanted to return, we'd certainly think about it.
Absolutely. In fact, I think it's fun to have, you know, some of the veterans come back in and show them how it's done. And we do like to have our previous year's winner, the diva from last year, come and perform and crown the newest diva.
Nice.
And it's a great show. I mean, Juno is so talented, and this is a wonderful opportunity for the ladies in Juno to really just kick up their heels.
But then on the other hand, also in September, we don't neglect the guys.
Yeah.
The Man Choir is coming back.
Yes.
Okay.
And so Richard Moore is going to direct male singers in town and some great music, you know.
We're going to have
a party on Halloween with a big dance.
Yes, Halloween ball.
Yeah, and then in December we're going to do a Mall in the Night Visitors.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Yes.
So
we're very excited.
And then we'll get into midwinter, and then in the spring it's Man of La Mancha, and you know,
before you know it, it's another 40 years. Right?
And I'll be there. I'm not going to miss any minute.
Juno Lyric Opera putting on Midsummer Vocal Workshop. How do people find out more about that?
The website, junoopera.org, should be able to give you all the information you
find
need.
Find out about all this stuff that's going on.
That's right.
That's very good. All right, so Lena Simmons and Scarlett Adams, thanks so much for coming in. Both
thank
of you.
Randy.
Appreciate it.
Good looking.
We just turned up the Fabulous Factor in here by, we just turned up to 11, I would say, in this studio right now. We've got Maude Carousel here in the house. How's it going, everyone?
Hello there, fantastically.
Wonderful, hi.
Yeah. We're doing dandy.
With us in the studio right now, Hattie Hot Pants, Trojan Original, Paris Original, and of course, the luminous Pariah.
Exactly. Or Seneca Harper.
Or Seneca Harper.
Juneau, Alaska.
Yes, yes, yes. Great to have you guys here. Thanks so much, and such a blast always to have you all come in and perform, and it's sort of like there's not a more fun show to go to.
You know, I agree with you.
That's like
we are the most fun ever anywhere.
Absolutely. In the history of shows.
Nationwide.
internationally, really.
Absolutely.
We put it to the vote. Juno, number one rated.
There we go. So, and let's not talk any further without talking a little bit about the day in history and what it means to Seneca. I'll just turn it.
Well,
what does this mean to you as
it's pretty exciting to have this this glittery rainbow explosion happen from the Supreme Court today, because I often feel like I'm from the future when I look around and I think it's 2015 and there are still people who are the same as every other person that don't have the same rights. I think it's totally crazy. So it's amazing that we're finally able to celebrate equal marriage rights. And now there's no civil union or gay marriage or homosexual marriage or whatever. It's just marriage is marriage. And I think that's fantastic.
It's great to hear. It was fun news. They didn't know if it was going to happen today or Monday or whatever. So.
Right.
Sort of seemed like first thing on the docket, just like went real quick, so that's great.
Well, you want to do it before the weekend.
Yes,
you know,
that's right.
You can really celebrate your style. That's right.
That's the Supreme Court thinking.
That's right.
Always thinking about the party. Yeah. So let's talk about your performance, Maude Carousel, coming up. This is an hashtag First World Problems.
Exactly.
So tell me a little bit about that.
You know,
title.
Hashtag First World Problems was a title we chose because we encounter a lot of these problems from day to day, but we also are self-aware enough to realize that they're pretty ridiculous. No one's dying. We're not, stuck in an airplane that's sinking into the ocean. The problems that we encounter day to day are pretty minimal, but there are many people in the world, particularly I think teenagers and those who are swept up in pop culture, who don't realize that their first world problems aren't actually applicable to most of the world. We've been doing some research to find out some of the most interesting or colorful first world problems in the hashtag. Can any of you remember any of those?
Yeah, this was one that our MC digged up the first time we did the show in Seattle, and I think it's the most inflammatory. And it basically goes, slow internet is our generation's Vietnam.
Hashtag first world problem.
Hashtag you really didn't think that through.
No.
Right.
No. Wow. Read a history book.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Well, so I get the phrase, and that's fun. But how do you make a show around that phrase? How do you do a show around that phrase?
It was the impetus for us to use songs from popular culture, to use that fun, exciting, dancey energy, and it also has influenced quite a bit of our choreography. It's a pretty dancey production. Exotique last week that we did have some dance in it, but I think this is kind of a different style for most of our acts.
Now, in dance, it's pretty tightly choreographed, or is it sort of free form?
Most every act is pretty tightly choreographed.
Uh-huh.
There are a couple sections, I think, in a couple of our acts that are more freeform, but most of it's pretty 5, 6, 7, 8.
So let's talk just nuts and bolts a little bit. It's happening tonight
and
tomorrow
tonight,
night, right? There's
exactly.
Two shows tomorrow night, but happening tonight as well. It's at Rockwell Ballroom at the kind of upstairs, so can pack in a lot of people there.
We can, Well, we were trying to urge people to buy tickets online, though, because even though it's a fairly large ballroom, we can really only comfortably get a little over 200 people in there. So ticket sales for tomorrow are still live. The ticket sales online for today have stopped, but we'll have some available at the door.
Okay.
We just try to make it so that everyone can get a really good seat and check out the show. And this year, we've brought up another amazing guest performer, Hattie Hot Pants from Olympia, Washington.
Oh, thank you.
And we're excited because she is kind of a chanteuse. She's a singer, and she's emceeing the show. And I'm really excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. That also means you'll get a different show every time because I'm fairly unpredictable. So if you'd like to plan for two shows, go right ahead and do it.
Well, it's cool. What you've got on here now, don't take this anyway the wrong way. You remind me of a young, beautiful Carol Burnett.
Thank you. I get that
right
a lot.
Here.
I'm actually known as the Carol Burnett of Olympia.
And you have the humor and all that as well.
Right.
Yeah, you tug in the ear. I love it.
It's better than the time my dad told me I looked like a young Shelley Winters.
Well,
I will take Carol Burnett any day. That's right.
She's
a lovely woman.
Shelley Winters
too.
Had something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So tell me a little bit about each one of your acts individually. Paris, maybe I'll start with you. Like, what can people expect? I mean, obviously, let's not give away everything. What can people expect when they see you on stage?
Well, for me, there's always my costuming is, I don't know, top notch. What? I make my own costumes, and they're always pretty razzle-dazzle. Lots of color.
Very cool, yeah.
You know, special shoes, always.
Might be a sequin or two in
maybe.
There. Yeah, you
Rhinestones,
know, every now and then.
Okay. Probably more so.
Okay.
Some dazzle, some dancing, some comedy. This show in particular features more, like our choreography is more comedy based, and there's a lot more group work and interaction.
Is the comedy all from the dancers especially, is it all sort of just in the dance, or is there microphones involved too? Is there dialogue, or is it mostly just expressed through dancing and through sort of physical comedy?
From the three of us, it will be through the dancing mostly, and from Hattie, it'll be on the microphone.
You're the MC, and yeah,
and I'm
right.
Funny to look at.
Yeah, no,
you get that.
Now, how about you? How about Trojan Original?
For me, I'll just tell you a wee bit about my act, and especially how it plays into the first world problems. I do my whole act with two beers in my hand, and I just don't want to let them go. And it's just
I've been there, man.
Feel good, yeah.
I've been there. Working at the brewery, you know. That's the story of my life.
First world problems.
Yes. Yeah,
the hashtag for story of my life, by the way, is STML, just in case you were wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Seneca, many people have seen your act, but maybe describe a little bit of what people might expect.
Well, I was trying to bring back one favorite act that people have really liked over the years this year. So I did. I brought back one. I don't want to give away which one it is. It's exciting. I did it a few years ago at Perseverance Theater. The other act that I'll be doing as a solo is one of my newer acts. It's very exciting. Paris Original made most of the costume. I did the headdress and the shoes. It's very tropical, shall we say.
All right.
And it's a song that I've wanted to dance to ever since I was probably about 5 years old, when I watched a certain movie that was popular in our culture back then. Beetlejuice, cough, cough. So I won't give too much away there. And then, of course, we've added in some group vignettes in this show to kind of help make the cabaret more cohesive and to also have a plot line that kind of follows through. And those are really fun because I actually get to play more of a staunch character than I usually do.
All right, very cool. So it's happening tonight, tomorrow night. Again, tickets online for tonight is no longer available, but there will be some at the door.
Correct.
But, I mean, get there early. Right?
Correct.
I mean, it's
yeah.
So this all starts at 7 o'clock tonight, and, you know, it's going to get lined up around the block. Let's face it, right? And then, again, happening, and are these different shows each night?
Hattie mentioned she's unpredictable.
Yes.
But we did have Exotique, our other show, last weekend. So this weekend, it's supposed to kind of be all the same show.
Right.
So you will see the same act. But, of course, it's live theater. It varies, and stuff happens on stage.
Yeah, and if you, last week, I couldn't believe the line. line.
Right.
It was incredible,
right? It was
going
pretty great.
All the way past the Baranoff and all that. It was awesome. I was like, all right, a real concert, a real show happening in town. This is awesome. So it's an evening of exdesiastic artistry.
Exactly.
Nailed.
Award-winning international boylesque and burlesque stars bring you cabaret material centered around the challenges of living in the first world. It's all happening starting tonight at 7 o'clock. You can still get tickets at the door, but get tickets ahead of time online for tomorrow night, 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock. I have a feeling the 10 o'clock one's going to get a little wild.
It will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that'll be pretty fun. And it's only $20 in advance, $25 at the door.
Exactly.
It's a bargain.
Yeah,
you got to raise the ticket prices.
You know, we've thought about that because it's the overhead to bring a production to Juneau, Alaska is pretty high. But at the same time, we still want to keep it accessible for our people.
That's true.
We don't want it to be something that's for the elite. We want it to be something that everyone can enjoy.
And everyone does enjoy it. It's Mod Carousel. It's happening tonight. Thanks to all you for coming in. Appreciate it. Great to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming to town. Yeah. All right.
See you at the show.
Yeah. Oh, Mod Carousel, so fun to see all of them in here. And they're playing tonight and tomorrow night over at Rockwell. Going to be a great show. We got another great show that we're going to be doing in the studio in just a minute. Ryan Cortez is here. He's going to be setting up, playing a little music. He's playing at McGivney's. That's tonight, Ryan?
Yep.
Playing at McGivney's tonight. And he's going to be doing that for us in just a minute. First, though, we're going to hear from Garrison Keillor with Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 26th of June, 2015. 1974, on this date, the first universal product code, the UPC bar code, was scanned at a supermarket. It was Marsh's Supermarket, Troy, Ohio. They scanned a pack of Wrigley's Juicy Fruit gum. The barcode had been patented by Joseph Woodland and Bernard Silver in 1952, but there wasn't a scanner for it until 1973. IBM put out a digital cash register and checkout scanner, and the grocery industry, which had been working with IBM on the invention, began requiring its suppliers to start putting barcodes on their packaging. 1997, on this date, an unemployed single mother named Joanne Rowling sat on a train and got the idea for a book about a black-haired, bespectacled boy who was a wizard and was just finding out about it, the beginning of the 7 Harry Potter books. It's the birthday of Pearl Buck, Hillsborough, West Virginia, 1892, born to two Presbyterian missionaries who took her back to China, where she was raised, homeschooled in English by her mother in the morning and taught classical Chinese in the afternoon, famous as the author of the novel The Good Earth in 1931, about Chinese peasants trying to survive during a drought. 1948, on this day, Shirley Jackson's short story, The Lottery, was published in The New Yorker magazine. Story about a small town holds a lottery every year to ensure a bountiful harvest, names written on slips of paper, and the winner of the lottery is stoned to death by the townspeople. Jackson said she wrote it in about 2 hours, sent it to The New Yorker. The editors put it into print about 3 weeks after they received it. It drew hundreds of angry letters, including one from Shirley Jackson's mother, who said, "Why don't you write something to cheer people up?" And it's the birthday of the blues musician Big Bill Brunsey, born in Scott, Mississippi, in 1898, one of 17 children of parents born into slavery. He played the fiddle when he arrived in Chicago. He tried playing fiddle tunes there, but it didn't appeal to Chicago audiences, so he took up the guitar and became a blues singer. Here's a poem for today by Seamus Heaney, entitled Follower. My father worked with a horse plow, his shoulders globed like a full sail strung between the shafts and the furrow. The horses strained at his clicking tongue. An expert, he would set the wing and fit the bright steel-pointed sock. The sod rolled over without breaking. At the head rig, with a single pluck of reins, the sweating team turned round and back into the land. His eye narrowed and angled at the ground, mapping the furrow exactly. I stumbled in his hobnailed wake, fell sometimes on the polished sod. Sometimes he rode me on his back, dipping and rising to his plod. I wanted to grow up and plow, to close one eye, stiffen my arm. All I ever did was follow in his broad shadow round the farm. I was a nuisance, tripping, falling, yapping, always. But today it is my father who keeps stumbling behind me and will not go away. Follower, a poem by Seamus Heaney from his Selected Poems, 1966 to 1987, published by Ferris Strauss and Giroux and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to and thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org. And by Progressive Insurance, with its Apron Project, celebrating progress and the people who make it happen. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Writer's Almanac for today with Garrison Keillor, and welcome back to the KTO studios for Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein with you, and Ryan Cortez is joining me. Ryan, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Playing tonight at McGivney's.
Not Marlantini's.
Not Marlantini's. It was written on here, and as I was saying it, I was like, "I don't. That's not even a thing anymore. What am I saying out of my mouth?"
They actually got called by McGivney's. They're like, "Wait, what's going on? You're playing at Marlantini's too?"
I'm sorry, I caused problems. See the reach of this radio station and this program. My voice so powerful. Well, Ryan, you're saying you're playing. That, it was kind of a funny thing we were just talking about. I saw a little flyer or maybe even a Facebook post or something saying that you were playing your last concert before leaving town. But you're just going on vacation for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to Puerto Rico to go spend time with the family and go surfing.
Go to a family wedding and stuff too, right?
Yeah, cool. In Puerto Rico.
So you're just going to be gone for a little while.
A month. Yeah,
no big deal. Coming back.
Yeah.
Okay, so this isn't like your farewell tour.
It almost felt like I was going to die or something, you know?
Like,
last show ever. It won't be.
So we'll have another chance to see you. But it will be the last time we can see you for a little while. And have you been kind of working on, have you kind of been working towards this show, working on new material and kind of working up to stuff?
This show is going to be a little different because usually I'm playing with Ryland. And we got this little band called Gemini Waltz that we've been working on doing all original tunes. So this won't necessarily be that. I'll play a couple of our songs, but it might be a mix between some older originals that I have that I could play by myself and then play some covers that I can possibly do some justice to.
So that's fun to just kind of break out a little bit of what you've been doing recently and get back to some stuff you were doing and try some new stuff, try some covers, stuff like that.
Yeah, do some Johnny Cash, maybe some Dylan or something like that.
Sounds good. That's always classic. Yeah. Always good stuff to do, yeah. Do you feel like you have a sort of musical direction that's happening to you? Maybe
I think we're trying to figure out how to bring the blues into like a new or current age. So we're trying to figure out how to match those two things. So Ryland's got like a really blues strong sensibility on the guitar, and then I'm just trying to see where we could take it and, you know, make it new somehow. Yeah. And just bring, like, I think the most fun songs are the ones that we actually still have fun playing, like, months down the line performing where we're not, like, bored up on stage, where we could, like, jump around and have some fun. So we're starting to work towards that direction where we're getting people up and dancing and having fun.
Do you find that more with your original stuff or more with covers or maybe a mix? Or
I'm trying to get the originals to be danceable and rageable and rockable. So that's what we're working on right now. But the covers, I always try to pick covers that are easy enough that it's just like three chord madness. Let people like just let go and have some fun and get on the dance floor and have a good time.
You feel like that's a big motivation for you is actually getting people dancing.
Yeah.
Butts on the dance floor kind of stuff. Yeah.
Totally.
Right, right.
Yeah, the other day we were playing at one of the bars at the Rendezvous, and all the guys kind of walked off stage for whatever reason. And I'm like, I bet I'm going to get all these people dancing with just the drums. And I just started doing like some like Latin groove on the drums. And we got like probably like 30 people dancing. And it was fun. It was like 10-minute drum solo. People were rocking out. So that's kind of my goal right there. Yeah.
You had people to just feel it.
Yeah, totally.
Kind of
just let go. And
shared experience then.
Juno's easier for that because people know that you don't have to be the best dancer to have fun here. And that's like the funnest part.
Do you find that, where else have you played where you find that's not as much?
In Puerto Rico, it's not that easy. Maybe now that we take our original songs over there with more energy, they would, but I'd play some gigs in Puerto Rico and people are like sometimes too self-conscious and they're just like, oh, my shirt will get wrinkled up, or, oh, people are going to see me like look goofy out there. And over here, you don't really have that problem.
A little
much.
Bit more competitive maybe or something. There's a competitive
nature. I think everyone's just trying to look fly over there.
Yeah.
And over here, everyone's just trying to have fun. So that's the difference.
Man, you know, you can be fly and have fun, right?
Exactly. We do that here.
We
in
do that. Well, you brought your guitar along, and you thought maybe I was hoping that maybe you could play a couple of tunes. You feel like doing it,
yeah,
picking
I'm
up
down.
The guitar and doing
excited.
It. So, what's the first one that you are thinking about playing?
I will play one called Penthouse Suite.
Okay.
And
what's the story behind this one, or the history of the song, maybe?
I can't delve too deep into it.
I don't even
public radio.
I don't even mean the meaning of. Maybe just how it developed.
It just developed. Actually, I had like one day at my parents' house where I wrote three songs.
Oh yeah.
And that usually doesn't happen. So, just felt inspired and just wrote it about some story that had happened to me in Spain, and that's what this Penthouse Suite song is about.
Okay, cool. So the Spanish influence here.
I don't know if it's Spanish influence, but definitely got like some flavor to it.
Okay, very good. This is Ryan Cortez. He's going to be playing tonight at McGivney's, and the name of this song is Penthouse Suite.
Yep. Whoops.
Key that just so happens to unlock the penthouse. So you got me up against the wall with a burning desire. I throw you to the floor, baby, you want some more? Yeah, we up against the city with the neon lights, up towards the heavens and the backlit sky. Oh, oh, we are one tonight, baby. If you move left, I'm gonna follow you. If you take it slow, well, I can dig that too, yeah. Oh, you know the way your rhythm moves my soul. Can make an honest man out of me. Enough, hell, we we can cover some ground we've already hit. The bathroom, the terrace, and the couch. There's a master bedroom, but that's so cliche. It's so warm in your hallway, babe. I think I'm gonna stay. Oh, come on, take it easy on me. You gotta breathe in, breathe out. You gotta build it up slow before it crash on down. Yeah. Oh, we are on to now, baby. If you move left, I'm gonna follow you. If you take it slow, well, I can dig that too. You know the way your rhythm moves my soul. Can make an honest man out of me. Yeah, because of you. Yeah, we're up against the city with the neon lights. You're taking me. Mama, you're taking me up towards the heavens and the backlit sky. If you move left, I'm gonna follow you. If you take it slow, hell, I can dig that too. Cause the way you're touching me tonight, baby, I don't want you. I don't want you to let go.
Cortez. How sweet. What's so cliche about the master bedroom, man? Come on. That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
That was really great.
Yeah.
Very cool. And that's one that, how long ago did you write that one?
That was just probably like 7 months ago or so.
Pretty recent, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you went on a, did you go on some big trip and kind of,
yeah,
a lot of these songs came out of experiences that happened or
yeah,
pieces
was,
of memories?
I was over in Spain for 3 months and then went back to Puerto Rico and then came back to Spain for another 3 months.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
What is it that draws you to Spain?
A lady friend of mine
okay.
that I had.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. But also the country itself? Or?
Oh, yeah, the country was so awesome. That's why I really wanted to go back the second time, like, I made so many friends my first day just going to the city and telling you from Alaska and Puerto Rico, and they trip out, and next thing you know, you're getting invited to people's houses and hanging out, going skateboarding through the cities and eating tapas and drinking beers is awesome.
Sounds like pretty idyllic. Yeah,
yeah,
man.
It was sick.
Great.
It was really cool.
Well, do you have time for one more, too?
Yeah. I'll play a slower one.
Okay.
That I was trying to practice. This one's actually an older one, but probably on the guitar, one of my favorite ones to play.
Great.
Yeah, this one's called Black and White.
Black and White, Ryan Cortez playing tonight at McGivney's. This is called Black and White.
Back to me, sweet angel, I know I've done you wrong. Lost my faith in never knowing, but found it in this hell's become my life. The breeze blows straight through me, the rays of the sun's warm miss me. Completely come back to me, sweet angel, from you my love will never part. And all I ask is for you to return to me once again. I beg and I plead, if I could turn back time, what would have taken from me to escape this black and white. Black and white, black and white.
black and white, black. Black and white, black and white. And all I ask is for a little reassurance. If love be given, then it should not be taken away. But if I would have known this life would be swept from under me without you, I would have never turned oil, said goodbye. And all I ask is for you to return to me once again. And if this desperate plea can now be fulfilled, then angel, I hope it's not too late for me to pray to you. Say I will feel your touch, the absence of the breeze. I will hear your voice in these empty melodies. And I will love you till time comes to an end. For this black and white is where I'll be till I see you again, till I feel you again, till you return to me. My faith in never knowing, but found it in this hell. It's become my life. Wanna escape this black and white, black and white, black, black and white, black, black and white, black and white.
Really nice. Ryan Cortez.
A little bit slower.
It's nice, yeah.
Thank you.
It's good. Just bring it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Bring it down.
Totally.
Ryan's playing tonight at McGivney's. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah,
really
thank
appreciate
you for
it. Have
me.
A great time in Puerto Rico and see you in about a month or so when you get
yeah,
back
yeah.
here.
Yeah, and at Home Skillet.
And at Home Skillet.
Yeah, we're playing Home Skillet in Sitka on Friday night. So
very nice.
If you can make it down, you all should check it out.
All right, Home Skillet happening in Sitka for the last time, 10th time and the last time, apparently, right?
Yeah, I'm stoked that we got on the roster,
yeah.
Thanks to Nick Glennon.
All right, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Ryan Cortez, thanks again. You can see him tonight at McGivney's. Now here's some Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. In early June, millions of birds arrive on the Arctic coastal plain in Alaska from all over the world. They're there to attract a mate and raise their young. They'll feed on the explosion of insect life that happens in the brief spring. Nature photographer Garrett Vinn takes us there.
So when the shorebirds arrive, it's an absolutely spectacular event. As soon as they get up there, these male shorebirds of all different types begin all of these unique displays. If you go up there on a calm, still spring evening, when the winds subside, all of these birds just lift off the ground, and the tundra can appear barren, and within a few hours, you just hear thousands of birds in every direction calling and singing. There's one shorebird species, the pectoral sandpiper, where the male has this pectoral sac in its chest that it'll stand on the ground for a while, inflate the sac, and then take off on these sort of moth-like buoyant flights low over the tundra, emitting this incredibly resonant hooting song as it's circling its territory, trying to chase off other males and attract a female. It's a really incredible thing to see this bird floating towards you, uttering this loud, resonant hooting sound.
The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at birdnote.org.
That's Bird Note, and welcome back to the studios where I've been joined by Andy Hirsch, and Andy is going to tell us all about the Library StoryCorps project that's happening.
Yes.
So tell me about this, because we've heard StoryCorps before, but this is a special thing that happened, which is kind of pretty cool.
It is. Yeah. It's super neat. So I think a lot of people know StoryCorps came to Juneau a couple years ago. However, the library won a grant this last year called StoryCorps at Your Library. And so it's StoryCorps is here again in Juneau through the library, and we are doing a project called Every Voice Matters. And it's a thematic StoryCorps project, which means we are asking people to share stories on a specific theme. And in our case, our theme is Alaska Native educational experiences.
Oh, okay. All right. So, explain that a little bit. How did you decide that
right.
theme? And
yeah. So let me talk about that just a little bit. So last year, as many people remember, there was the curriculum debate for the fourth grade about what materials should be included in the curriculum. And specifically, there was the boarding school novel, which was the novelization that many people felt was not an accurate representation of what actually happened. It wasn't written by a Native person. And so there was a lot of talk in the community about what stories are important and what stories we teach and why this is important.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, the grant became available for us to apply for. And we thought a lot of people in the community were saying, we want a chance to tell our stories. Our stories are important. We haven't been able to talk about them, or we haven't been welcome to talk about them before. And the result is this whitewashed literature for our schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to tell our stories. And so the goal of the library is to allow people to tell stories. And they don't have to be boarding school stories. They can be stories about any educational experience. It
mm-hmm.
could be the first time you learned to drive a car. It could be learning traditional things. It could be the revitalization of language. It could be learning in a K through 12 Juneau school, or being homeschooled, or anything in between, going out into the woods and how you learned the first time, like the safety for hiking. Any story that involves people learning.
And getting this sort of firsthand voice of these stories just seems like such an important thing to do.
It is.
Yeah.
And I will say it's both firsthand, and it could be stories about people in your family who have already passed, because there's been generations where people haven't been able to tell stories. But passed down, they're within families, and people might want to share these. And so if they choose to share them, they get to decide how much they want to share them. They could come in and they could record a story, and they're the only people who are ever going to hear it, and that's fine. They get a CD. Congratulations.
Right.
You participated. It's
yeah.
awesome. However, you could also choose, if you come in to tell a story, you could choose to archive it with the Library of Congress, National Folklife Center, the Juneau Public Libraries, Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, and with StoryCorps. So you could share your story broadly, or you could share it very narrowly, and that's entirely up to participants.
And tell me about the process. So what happens? They go...
So the process is...
Sign up, or how do you do all that stuff?
Well, so the process is you call the library and you say, I heard about this thing.
This thing on the radio.
I heard it, and I don't really know what it's about. I'd like some more information. And so there's a couple of us at the library who are spearheading the project, and we give you a call back, and we tell you what it's like, and... Then we set up a date and time and place that works for you. And what that means is we have a mobile kit, which means we have space in the library if you want to record there. But if you can't make it to the library, or you're not comfortable there, or it doesn't work for you, we can come to you. We can come to a third place. We can come to your house. We can find a spot that works for you. And the way this works is interview is a little bit of a strong term. It's most StoryCorps is the person sits down with someone they know, a friend, a relative, a spouse, somebody that they have a connection with. And the two people talk to each other and share stories with each other. And it happens to be recorded.
And so just listening in on a conversation in a way, although they know the theme and they know what that's going to be about. But,
right. And
yeah.
of course, as great storytelling happens, you don't stay on theme. You're like, oh,
right.
and then I remember this story, and here's a great story about my mom. Oh, and then I'll draw it back, and maybe we'll talk about this some more.
Right, right. Well, very cool. So how can people get involved and find out more? And
great. They can call or email us at the library. You can call us directly. The woman who is spearheading the project, her name is Beth Weigel. Her number is 586-0434, or you could just call any of the libraries, and they will put you in touch. Our main number is 586-5249. You can send us an email at libraryevents@juno.org. Get in contact with us somehow, and we'll take it from there.
Well, great. Well, that's Library Story Corps. It's happening, and tell me the theme.
Alaska Native Educational Experience.
Okay, great, and that's the theme. And so if you have something along those lines that you want to share, let the folks there know. Andy Hirsch, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. Just entered the studio here. Lots of stuff just entered. There's a band now in the studio. Crown King. Here they are.
We made it.
Right?
Don't do it.
Wrong. All of a sudden they're English.
All the best ones are.
How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Thanks for dropping in. We appreciate it. Crown Kings, you guys are playing tonight at, when are you playing? Playing at Suite 907, right?
Suite 907. Doors open at 8 o'clock tonight.
Happening tonight, okay.
Yeah, the band starts at 9. We'll play from probably 9 to 1-ish. And tomorrow's Summerfest. So everybody come out and enjoy this great weather. But, you know, we're from Phoenix, so we're loving it. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it rains, snows, what happens here. It's good better what's happening
good
at home.
Good for the skin. Good for the skin, yeah.
But tomorrow's Summerfest. There's going to be food, and we're going to start again tomorrow at 9 p.m.
Cool. Tell me a little bit about Crown Kings. How would you characterize the kind of music people are going to be hearing?
You're going to have a good time.
Yes.
You're going to have a fantastic day. It's rock and roll. It's old rock. It's new rock. It's new country. We just kind of mix everything up and just everybody has a great time.
Just keep it fun and keep people out there.
Yeah, dancing and drinking. that's our goal. That's why we came here.
I don't like the sound of that.
We won't see you there, will we?
No.
All right.
So tell me a little bit about how you got up here. Where you guys kind of based out of?
We're based out of Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay,
we were lucky enough to be booked for Taste of Juno Festival. What was it, about 4 years ago?
Yep.
And had a great time. Met a lot of great people. Really fell in love with the place and our booking agent. And she called us again and brought us out, and we're lucky to be back, you know, having a great time.
Very cool. And what keeps you inspired to keep playing, to play music and keep people coming to it? I mean, it's lonely at the top. You want to rock and roll, right? It's a hard
highway to hell, my friend. Yeah.
People think of it as like, oh yeah, you're in a band. Like, get a real job sometime. Yeah. You know, right. I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, like we said, we all live in our cars, and the inspiration it's either attach a hose to the muffler and close the windows, or just keep playing music, man. And that's what we do. We play music. So. It's a common tale.
That's a
right.
Fairly morbid way of looking at it, but it's a little on the negative side.
We'd like to brighten the room every chance we get. We're just little rays of sunshine out of the Sonoran desert. Yeah.
Well, all right. So you guys, tell me a little bit more about Summerfest. What's going on there? What are the hours and what's going on there?
Melissa would be a great mouthpiece for that.
Basically, Summerfest is like a mini Taste of Juno. We're just kind of like along the line of Food Truck Fridays. We've got Fatmos out there anytime from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow night. We've got a bunch of little food vendors. The little shaved ice guys will be out there. And
okay, all at Suite 907?
Out in front in the big tent at Suite 907.
Oh,
yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Very
so
cool.
Mini Taste, we just kind of threw this together to get these guys up here.
Very cool. That sounds like a blast.
We had to get them out of the 115-degree
campaign.
All right.
Thank you enough for that.
And Crown King starting tonight at 7. Music's at 8, kind of?
Yeah. Doors open at 8. We start at 9.
Okay. Right. 8.
Yeah.
Music starts at 9. It's Crown Kings. They're playing Suite 907. Thanks, you guys, for dropping in.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. All right. All right, that's Juno Afternoon for today. Thanks to all my guests for coming in. Appreciate it very much. Have a great time out there in the misty, misty weather. And enjoy yourself this weekend. That's it. Thanks. Coming up next is All Things Considered.
Strengthen all of our communities by offering to all loving same-sex couples the dignity of marriage across this great land.
The Supreme Court hands down a historic decision making same-sex marriage legal for Friday, June 26th. It's All Things Considered.
I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Audie Cornish. This hour we hear from plaintiffs in the landmark case.
Crying and laughing and more crying, and I can't even explain how happy I am right now.
And from the Attorney General in South Dakota, where voters banned same-sex marriage.
Even though the majority of our citizens feel we should be the ones defining what marriage is, we will do what we can to make sure the decision is followed.
Also, these stories that German beer you're drinking might be American.
And we get to listen to Miguel's latest album.
First, this news update.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The plaintiff, whose case the Supreme Court ruled on today, declaring same-sex couples have the right to marry in all 50 states, says he's elated. Married in Maryland, where it was legal, but his husband was dying in Ohio, where it was not. He was in court today to hear the ruling read. He says it was emotional.
I just kept crying. I think I finished crying towards the end of the ruling.
The court's decision means the 14 states that had